I'm going to look at that particular interesting, well, one of the tales that I'm maybe not going anyway, from the point of view of place names and things, which are very interesting because a lot of the action of the fourth branch of the Mabinogion took place in Gwynedd. Well, a little bit down in Dyfed as well. But that's the main thing. Oh yeah, that's it. There we are. Now then, the thing about place names is that, hang on, do I need to stand before this? No, there we are then. Right on. Okay then, place names are absolutely fascinating. Because, some of them will tell you a great deal about traditions and folklore and myths and everything else, stories of the past. And there are meanings behind so many of the tales. Can you see that nearest one there? That is Moel y Gest, which is a portmanteau there, yeah? Between Cricket and portmanteau. Can you see the shape of the face on it? That is Cawr y Gest, the giant of Moel y Gest, or the Gest. And he actually lived up in Cwmpennant originally, you know. He used to come down to the Cricieth Fair, Fire Cricieth, but some blooming kids started calling names on him because he was such a big guy, like, you know. So what he did, he went back up to Cwmpennant and scooped a huge bucket full of gravel from the scree there, brought it back and then strew it all over the wonderful sandy beach once in Cricieth. That is why the beach in Cricieth is all rocky today. Compared to the other side of Graig Ddu, the Black Rock. Look at Moel y Bychan there, lovely and sandy, Cricieth all stony, because, you know, this poor guy was insulted and so on. But there we are, that's just one tiny little tale. And in fact, prominent place, in fact, you know, has some sort of legend or whatever, or story associated with it, because, you know, in our tradition it's fantastic to sort of relate stories to places, yeah? And to interpret place names, to generate stories, very often you can use your imagination, like, you know. But there we are, that is, Pontius MacKenna, which was one of the foremost Celtic scholars at one time, and he said that, you know, every name evokes its own explanatory legend, the lore of prominent places. Well, okay then, just a few before I get on to my main theme. You might recognise that lump over there, that is Cader Idris, yeah? Cader, the chair, and Idris, the giant. And of course what happened was that Idris sat on top of that mountain every day, well, every night as well, actually, every night. Yeah, that's why he's flat on top, you see. And he was such a big guy that he had his head above the clouds all the time. And he thought that he was the richest giant in all creation. Because, you know, in days when you counted your wealth in the number of animals you possessed, he could count all the wonderful sheep up in the sky, the stars. And there are innumerable stars, and he therefore had innumerable sheep. And that's why he thought he was the most rich giant in all the world. Yeah? Which makes absolute sense, doesn't it? Another one is this thing, you know? A Wyddfa. Yeah, Wyddfa. That is the proper name for that. It's the biggest mountain in Wales, and it's bigger than anything in England as well, actually. But, in English, you call it Snowdon. Yeah? God. Yeah, well, that's right. It is occasionally true. there we are. It's a very ancient old name. That's actually because it could be seen from, you know, Mercia and, you know, the Saxon lands way back in the 9th century. And so that name goes back to them, describing the snow-covered peaks way in the distance, you know, because they were snowed on in those days. But the real name is Rwyddfa. Gwyddfa Rhytagawr is the full name. Gwyddfa means a burial cairn. Yeah? And how this arose was that you had this guy, this nasty, horrible bully of a giant called Rhita. And he would bully everybody. And he demanded tribute and everything else from all the local chiefs. And he had this horrible, what a nasty habit he had of making sure that people knew their submissive status in comparison to him. He would grab hold of some of the chiefs, and then he would take his big knife out and do the most horrible thing, you know, and then beards off. Cut their beards off, you know. What a horrible thing to do. And he weave all these beards into a big cloak he wore around his back. And you know, there were all sorts of beards, and there were yellow ones and pink ones and red ones and black ones. Every colour under the sun, practically. But there was one big gap he wanted to fill. And that beard that he wanted belonged to none other than Brenin Arthur, King Arthur himself. Yeah? And so he went after Arthur to get his beard. And Arthur wouldn't let him have it, of course, obviously. And there was a big fight. And the fight went all over, like in all over the place. There are several places which refer to the battle of Hiwr Barfa near Llanuwchllyn, the slope of the beards where they roll down the slopes and everything else. But eventually Arthur was able to jump on top of a big rock, like that, and get old Hita Gawr in the guts and killed him. The giant fell dead, and of course, what the hell were they going to do with the body now? You know, he wouldn't want to leave it out because it just stink and crows and dogs and things like that. And the ground is a bit too hard, it was a giant anyway. So Arthur had this wonderful idea. Let us build a cairn of stones to cover the body. Yeah? And that's what happened. You know, he gave directions to people to come and bring the stones and so on. And you know, Rhita Gawr had been so unpopular that so many people came from so many places with so many stones that the cairn they built was that big. Hence, that is how the Wyddfa came into existence. And I think that's a far better story than just bloody snow. But the main theme I want to talk to you about is the Mabinogion. And I'm not sure how many of you are familiar with that wonderful collection of medieval Welsh tales. Many of them, of course, you know, many of the motifs in them go right back into prehistory and, you know, to pre-Christian blooming things in them as well. Fantastic. They weren't written down until the 14th century, and one of the versions is the Red Book of Hergest, you know, written down in the 14th century and so on. But there are several stories in there. There's a whole collection of tales, in fact. But the one I'm going to talk about are the four branches of the Mabinogion. The one I'm going to be talking about is the fourth branch, about Manawydan fab Llyr, or in fact the story of Llei and Blodeuwedd. Yeah? Because so many of the actions there actually occur not too far away from here, in fact. Dyffryn and Lle over there in the top, and also Cwm Cynfal, just in northern Meirionnydd, the top of the Maetorog Valley. And anyway, you know, the Mabinogion have always been a very, very popular theme here, you know, in Welsh culture and so on. And diawl, if you look at the top corner over there, there's even a chip shop in Bethesda. Which is wonderful, you know. It'd be great, you know, to go to England and find, you know, something dirty, a chip shop, Beowulf chip shop. Chaucer, Trio, whatever, like, you know. But there we are. And, you know, that is Dyffryn and Lle there, the Nantlle Valley, of course, Nant, Lle being the hero of the fourth branch. And of course, Ysgol Bro Lle, the School of Bro Lle, and even the local community newspaper, you know, the Papur Bro is named Lle, after Nant, Lle, and so on, like, you know. But anyway, here are some of the place names, you know, associated with two tales, actually. One is the first branch, the story of Bendigeidfran in Harlech and so on, like, you know, but there are only a few, three or four place names associated with him. But the rest of them over there now are, especially that, the map of Gwynedd and so on, are found in Dyffryn and Lle and right down to northern Meirionnydd. So there's a lot, in fact, and I'll take you on a trip around some of these places and illustrate some of the main parts of the story, in fact, which is good, fantastic. Now then, okay then, how many people are actually familiar with the fourth branch of the Mabinogion? Yeah? A few? Great. Good. Well, yes, you can check if I'm telling you. But the rest of you, get hold of the plumbing book. Fantastic. Okay then. The story starts at Caer Dyffil. But nobody really knows where Caer Dyffil is. I believe it's a hill fort, or a loop of the river Llyfni, not too far above the village of Llanllyfni, where there's this magnificent hill fort there. And you can see, you know, the river comes down this side, and then in the middle picture there, you can see the great ramparts. There are three great walls, earth walls, in fact, which are very, very large to cut off that loop in the river, in fact, to create the hill fort. That is a very, very strong contender. And quite recently, in fact, there's been a study by a guy called Carl Skinner from Longitude University, who suggests that it might even be here in Caernarfon, that it was, you know, in fact, maybe Saguntum or something like that, in fact. But there we are. But anyway, the story begins in Caer Dyffil. And the main characters involved are Mathrar of Thonwy, the king of Gwynedd at that particular time. And then he had his virgin attendant, Goywin, the daughter of Pebin, Goywin Ferch Pebin. And there is a doll Pebin near Talsharn, on the top of the Nantlle Valley, in fact. And, Mathrar of Thonwy and Goywin, his virgin attendant. He always has to have this virgin attendant with him, you know, all the time. And the only time when he could leave the virgin was when he was going to war. Yeah, which is very significant. Enter Gwydion and Gilfaethwy. Mathrar is their uncle and so on. Gwydion the magician and Gilfaethwy, a young warrior. And, in fact, you look at the far picture over there, the farm Bryn Gwydion, yeah, hasn't got a nice little slate plaque. The name is quite obvious on the bend. But that'll do, won't it? You know, it's a little plaque. And the point was that once they come into Caer Dyffil, Gilfaethwy sees the virgin. Wow, he certainly fancies this girl something awful, I tell you. But the hell he fancies her, like, you know. But the only time that he can get at the virgin, of course, is when there's a war and Math has to go away and attend to that business. And, then Gwydion, who's a very crafty guy, and the magician as well, thinks, well, I'm about then, why not make a war then? Get Math to leave the virgin, you know, you can get at her then. Okay then. And they think, who the heck they could wage war against? And as it happened, down south, in the kingdom of Dyfed, Pryderi, the king of that area, had recently acquired new magical animals from the lord of the underworld, from Anuven. Yeah? And these things were called pigs. They were quite new in those days. I mean, people, you know, and there must be some word of truth in this, because, you know, you would have used the wild pigs, you know, the type before. But these new pigs, our modern domestic pigs, which derived from China, by the way, originally, would have gradually made their way across and into Europe and eventually come to here. And maybe this is a reference to the first coming of the new type of domestic pig into the Isle of Britain or whatever. You know, there we are. And then, they thought they'd go down, and if they could steal these pigs, that would make a war. And they do that, and Gwydion and his men then go down to the south. They dress as minstrels to get entertainment, to entertain the court and so on. And they're very interested in the pigs that Pryderi has. And Pryderi doesn't want to sell them. And he says that, you know, these pigs, I cannot give them away, and I cannot sell them. You know? Oh, heck. Okay then. And Gwydion thinks about this, and he says, if you can't give them away, And if you can't sell them, maybe you can exchange them for something. Ah, never thought of that. Well, what can you offer? And so what Gwydion does, he conjures out of magic, and he uses mushrooms, by the way. there's a lot of magic involved with mushrooms. And he generates out of mushrooms some fantastic hunting dogs and golden shields and golden leashes and golden collars for these dogs and everything else. Like, you know, and he then offers these in exchange for the things. And Pryderi said, yeah, great, okay, I'll do that. And so the men of Gwynedd now procure the pigs. And Gwydion says, come on, let's get the hell out of here, because the smell will only last 24 hours. And so off they go. And at the end of the 24 hours, you know, all the blooming dogs and the golden shields and everything turn back to mushrooms. And Pryderi realizes that he'd been had, like, you know, so let's get the magic pigs back. And they go in pursuit. Now then, the men of Gwynedd with the pigs, they return through a circuitous route up by Nant y Moch, you know, where the dam is in the north, what do you call it? People in that area. And across to Llanrhaeadr y Mochnant, up through Clwyd, and by Mochdre in Colwyn Bay. Moch pigs, yeah? So Nant y Moch, Llanrhaeadr y Mochnant, and Mochdre. You see, are all related to this particular story. I think a lot of that is just picking on names and connecting them just a bit. But there we are. And they arrived back just in time with the men of Dyfed in hot pursuit. They arrived back with the magic pigs. And, war, it's war, we're being pursued. And Math then, of course, has to take up battle against the men of Dyfed who come to get their pigs. Their pigs back or whatever. So it is war, and the next thing now is that Math goes to the farm not too far away, a site not too far away from called Penarth, which is Desac, if you know that particular area. And that is where they met. That is where, you know, the army was gathered together, and then he marched out to do battle with the men of Pryderi. The actual site of battle is not known. It is somewhere between Penarth, that place, and Coedalin. And of course, the nearest we have to Coedalin is Coedhelen, which is on the outskirts of Caernarfon, not too far away from here. In fact, it's very interesting that Coedalin was the original name, but they changed that to Coedhelen with reference to another Mabinogion character, Helen, who became the wife of Maximus, or Maxen Wledig, in another of the tales. They preferred the idea of the nice girl rather than anything else, you know. And so there was a great slaughter in this particular battle, and after that, the men of Dyfed retreated up to the top end of Dyffryn Anlle, and there at Nantcall, I don't know if you know Pant Glas, you know, yeah. On the road towards, Bornadog in that area. Just after you go through Pant Glas, there is Hendre Nantcall, Nantcall Isa, Nantcall Ganol, and Nantcall Ucha. Four particular farms now named with variants of Nantcall, because the original Nantcall was split up over the years, like, you know. But that is the site of the second battle, another great slaughter. And the men of Dyfed retreat even further, and they get to Dolbenmaen. You know Dolbenmaen, which is, you know, down halfway towards between Gwynedd of Nantlle and what do you call it, and Portnadog. And there, a truce is arranged. So, you know, the men of Dyfed now were able to retreat. They failed to get their pigs back, but they were now able to retreat further. And off they go. But when they get to the Traeth Mawr, or the Great Sands, where now the, you know, the area which is claimed from the sea, when they built the Cob in Portmadog, you know, a couple of hundred years ago now, 1812, yeah? That's when they composed a tune to it, you know, the boop boop boop. 1812. Anyway, When they got to there, the soldiers on the side couldn't resist it, and started firing arrows at each other again. And another ghost great slaughter was anticipated. But Math and Pryderi made an arrangement. They decided that, to spare so much slaughter, why not have two people, one from either side, the greatest warriors on either side, meet each other in single combat. And the outcome of that battle would decide the outcome of the fight and all that. And that is, something which happens, it's a motif which you find everywhere. I mean, didn't David and Goliath do that in the Bible? Didn't, Hector and Achilles meet in single combat? And, it's a common theme you find in many, many different tales and legends and so on. But here, the fight was between Pryderi, the greatest warrior of the south, and of course Gwydion, who was in fact the best fighter of Gwynedd. And they met in a site known as the Velen Rhyd, the Yellow Ford. Now that is in the Dyffryn Maen Twrog. And in those particular days, the tide came all the way up to the village of Maen Twrog before William Oak, Cleopatra and the Bold actually claimed that lowland for agriculture in those days, and a couple of hundred years ago now. And so the Yellow Ford refers in fact to the crossing of that estuary, yellow referring to the sands of the estuary there. A Velenrhyd, the Yellow Ford. And you find, Velenrhyd Fach, the name of the farm, Velenrhyd Fawr, the bigger Velenrhyd, and there is in fact a wood nearby called Coed Velenrhyd as well. And at that particular site, in the ford, the two men met and fought. And by magic and enchantment, Gwydion conquered and Pryderi was slain, poor guy. He came all the way to get his pigs. Yeah. He lost his pigs. Now then, this bottom thing here, by the way, is the name given to Coed Velen yr Hyd by the Woodland Trust of all people. About 20 years ago when they got hold of the land. Any members of the Woodland Trust here? Yeah? Okay then, I want you now to take a message back to the Woodland Trust that their name is wrong. Okay? They spell it Velin. Velin, Melin, a mill. The ford by the mill. That's what that name is. And it was copied from an ancient, the original, deed to the property back in the 1850s or something like that. And some stupid bloody clerk in some legal office, didn't really know the name, and he put that instead. There was never a mill at that site anyway. Yeah? And what a missed opportunity for the Woodland Trust, because this was the site of the fight between Gwydion and Pryderi, one of the central elements of the Blaming Tales of the Mabinogion. And they miss it! You would do, the image of this site, culturally and so on, the world of good. So get that bloody message back to them. I've been battling, Woodland Trust for years about this, but they still haven't. So, maybe a bit of internal pressure. Anyway, poor old Pryderi was slain and he was buried at Maen Twrog, which is just up the road. And here is the little village of Maen Twrog and the church and the Moelwyn at the back. And the stone there which marks the ford, the crossing point on the river, a sacred spot in terms of the old pre-Christian Celts and so on, because a ford was not only a political boundary, it was a boundary between this world and the next as well, and there would have been a priestess or something like that to help people cross the river safely, make a little offering and say a prayer to the right sacrifice.
You're okay, like, you know.
And the stone there is all that marks today. When the Celtic saint Turog came to the area back in the 7th century to Christianize the natives, you know, he did away, obviously, with that sacred pagan site. And the best way to neutralize a pagan site is to put a church splat on top of it. And, well, not right on top of the stone, but right next to it. You can't get any closer than that. Yeah. By the way, there is a wonderful story about Mayan Turog itself. Another story associated with the place name and the actual object, that stone itself. Yeah? Okay then, the story goes that Turog came to Christianize the people of the area way back in the 7th century. And when he arrived, he found that the people of the district were actually worshipping the devil. Now who that would have been, of course, would be the horned god Cerninus, the god of fertility of the ancient Celts. Yeah? In the Bible, you don't find any reference to the devil having horns. But when the church was battling against the pagan elements in Europe and so on, they were worshipping the horned god Cerninus, the Celtic god of fertility. And so the poor old devil then had horns as a sign of the battle against the pre-Christian gods and so on. Anyway, Turog challenged the devil to a fight. And they fought. And of course the prize being the souls of the people. Now then, it was quite a civilized fight, and they had an intermission. In the fight. And during the intermission, Turog went to the top of a Moylwyn. See the mountain at the top there? Moylwyn back at the top there now, yeah? And do you know what he did there? Well, he cheated. He cheated. Because he prayed for divine help. And an angel came and gave him huge strength. And suddenly Turog became, have you seen the Incredible Hulk? That's it. The thing is new, is it? A lot of these new modern heroes are based on, old characters themselves, actually. Turog got the immense strength, and he picked up a stone and threw it like that. And it landed right in between the hoofs of the devil. And the devil ran like, no point in fighting anymore. So he swore and he cursed, as he'd expect the devil to do. He swished his tail about furiously. He opened his wings and he flew away over the hills eastwards. And he didn't land until he got to England. Now that's just a little aside now. Sorry for sidetracking. But anyway, the battle's over now. The men of Dyred retreat to the south, and Gwydion and Gilfaethwy now have got to go back to Caerdyfil, I forgot a very important element in the story. Yeah, retract, come back a few pieces before the story of Turog and all that. When the war was beginning, what happened, of course, was that when Math was away gathering his forces, the two lads snuck back to Caerdyfil, and Gilfaethwy had his evil way with the virgin until she was no longer a virgin. And of course they then, took back the battle and all that. Now then, back to Caerdyfil now. And when Math came back and found that his virgin attendant was no longer a virgin, Mauri was a bit angry about this. And, he called the two bad boys now, to punish them. And after giving them a hell of a row, he then punished them. And what he did, in fact, was to turn them into animals. And he said that for a year you must live as animals, for the first year as a stag and a doe. Gwydion to be the stag, and Gilfaethwy actually raped the girl to be the doe, yeah? And then of course they lived like that wild in the woods. And of course poor old Gilbert Flynnow had to suffer being, you know, drunk by his mate. And had to suffer the pangs of birth, yeah? And come back in a year's time with a little, you know, a little one. And Math said again, okay then, the second year you must be a wild boar and a wild sow. And this time, Gwydion to be the sow and Gilwythwy to be the boar. Yeah?